from your point of view, because we know these deals don't just happen overnight, how long was the process of bringing in Jason Zucker?
Well, it was a long one because it goes back to the offseason when we thought we had a deal for him and we didn't. And then when they changed management in Minnesota, my friend Billy Guerin went there, and I think he was there a couple of days, and I called him and reminded him of what he already knew because he was in Pittsburgh knowing that we wanted Zucker. I said, if you get to that point, when you know you're going to make your changes, let me know. And so he wasn't at that time in a position to decide who he was going to move. And I would say once he got to that point, I would say this deal probably took 2 or 3 weeks.
Jim, I'm curious about, and we'll use Bill Guerin as the jump-off point here, because this is, you know, Bill Guerin's first big move as general manager of the Minnesota Wild. Do you remember your first big move or the move that you really wrestled with as a young general manager and what it was like for you? Anyone you could lean on, anyone you could use for support? Because, you know, one of the things that's not lost in this, you know, Jason Zucker trade is what you just winked at a second ago is, you know, Bill Guerin, of course, has a relationship with you and the Pittsburgh Penguins, and that's who he went to for his first big deal. Can you recall your first, Jim?
Well, I'm not sure if this is my first, but it was one of my first when I went to Hartford many years ago. And they had some issues on and off the ice at the time, and so we wanted to change things up, and I traded a great young player. I said it at the time. I wasn't trading him because of the career he was going to have, but we wanted to change things up. So I traded Chris Pronger for Brendan Shanahan, and that was not any small deal. I didn't have anyone to lean on. I was president and GM. Start of my NHL GM's career, and that was a pretty big one.
How many times, I've asked Brian Burke about this before, I think we were talking about the Bobby Hull leak deal, the Burke-Weinrich deal, and he said, you know, there were so many times as a young GM, he'd pick up the phone and then put it down before dialing. That insecurity, oh, am I really going to do it? Did you find yourself in that situation where you're like, ooh, this is a huge deal. Do I have it to pull the trigger?
No. I mean, I was always interested to hear what other people had to say, and in some ways, you know, learning as I was going, and so talking to the veteran GMs and how they approach things and whatnot, you know, I could learn things from those guys.
Jim, just looking at your own team before this season, I don't know what your expectations were for this group, but I think a lot of us have been surprised just how great the season has gone for Pittsburgh, and not just in the big picture, but also with the injuries, you know, how resilient the group has been. Do you think that the group is where you want it to be, or do you think you'll be making additions come deadline time?
Well, I like our team. I'd prefer to be 100% healthy, as all teams would. So we'll wait until probably about 48 hours prior to the deadline to make decisions going forward. We, you know, at that point, we'll have a better understanding where Dumoulin and Marino are and when they'll return to the lineup. We also have Bukestad and Cahoon out. I would think Cahoon's going to be back long before the deadline. So we'll wait till that period of time. If we go with the group we have, I'm fine with that. I like this group. You know, there may be a little bit of tinkering at the end, but I don't see anything big.
It makes a ton of sense to do that from an injury perspective, just waiting to see kind of who you have at that time. Just in general, sort of from like a GM theory, how much do GMs let recent results, like results around the trade deadline, affect how they move at that time? Like, it seems to me the big picture of the season should matter more, but you see a lot of GMs wait till that last moment. Are they taking into consideration those recent results?
Yeah, they might. I don't know. I mean, I can't, because I've had some successful moves at the deadline and some that haven't worked out. So I think you have to look at it each individual year, see where your team's at, see what's available. And as you said earlier, I like to move a little earlier than the deadline. I find that last 24 hours seems to be a real scramble.
How important has it been?
You're on. Yeah, your mic's on. Your mic's on.
Sorry, Jim. I said, how big of an impact did Evgeny Malkin have while Sidney Crosby was out? And do you feel he gets enough respect throughout the league? Some people are saying, debating whether he should be in the top 100 players of all time. My opinion is, having played against him, I think he should be in the top 50, 75 at least. So just talk about Evgeny Malkin and what he means to this organization.
Well, I'm with you. I was one of the people voting on those top 100, and I had him in mind. And certainly the fact that I see him every day, I understand what a great player he is. But this year, when Sid went out, Gino, he jumped right in, and, he led the team. The big thing that I see now this year, probably more than other, is now he has some leadership. Not that he didn't before. He'd do it in a different way, and of course he comes from a different country, so the language makes it a little more difficult for him as a leader. But there's been some things this year that he's really shown me some good character and leadership, and then of course everybody's seen what he's done on the ice. And you're always watching for players when they get in their 30s. When does a decline start? But he's been as good this year as he's been since I've been in Pittsburgh, and so he should be a very good player for a number of years now.
With Penguins executive VP and general manager Jim Rutherford, I am curious as it relates to the Jason Zucker deal. If Jake Guentzel doesn't go down injured, do you still make that deal at the same time?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I've been asked that a few times, and after I answered it, I'm still not 100% sure. We've always wanted Zucker. We wanted him in the summertime. So I guess, probably. We didn't just do it because Guentzel was out. But with Guentzel in our lineup, certainly makes us a stronger team, and I may not have felt quite the urgency to do it at the deadline. Maybe wait till the off season.
And I've told this story a couple of times over the past few days since you pulled the trigger on the deal with the Minnesota Wild. So the news breaks that the Pittsburgh Penguins have acquired Jason Zucker from the Minnesota Wild. And Jim, I get a text from a buddy of mine, and he says, man, it must be a lot of fun to be a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, because every year that general manager goes for it. Jim, as long as you have 87 and 71 in the lineup, are you always going for it?
Yep. That's our direction here, and we feel our window's still here for this year and a couple more. And it's hard trading younger players and draft picks, but we've found a way to pick up other players. Like some of the younger players we got that we didn't draft over the last year was McCann, Pettersson, Marino. We go hard after the college and European and junior free agents. This is a good place for players to come because we don't have as many prospects coming in the pipeline, and it gives those guys a chance to go right in the lineup. So we do it a little different way, but we feel we still have a chance to win, and we are still picking up some younger players.
Jim, how has your team-building philosophy changed since your earliest days as a GM? A lot of people say that the game has changed. Do you think that's true, or do you stick with what you kind of believed from the get-go?
No, I wouldn't be around if I did things the way I did them my first year. You have to change with the times, and there's so many specialty people now, specialty coaches and psychologists and everything like that, and I think it's really important, and if we could have had the luxury of having as many people that we have in Pittsburgh that have input and that give the players a better chance to win, it would have made it easier over the years. But we're in a good position now. We have a terrific staff, and we're very fortunate.
Jim, I maintain the answer to this question is goaltending or goaltender. But since you played in the NHL, which position has improved the most? Like, I go back and look at games from the 70s and the 80s, even into the 90s, and I say to myself, wow, the goalie position, it's almost night and day. Is that the one spot in the game that you, Jim Rutherford, who have seen so many games, seen so many players, so many stars, so many positions evolve, Is that the one position that you look at and you say, wow, it is night and day the way this position used to be played?
Yeah, I would say if you boil it down to one position, I mean, there's a lot of things have changed. You know, the players are bigger and stronger. They train a lot more, and and the technology helps, and all those things. But the goaltending position's changed the most. One, the goalies are bigger just by the fact that the equipment's better and it's bigger. But we also have bigger goalies, you know. I mean, we don't have goalies my size anymore. It'd be very difficult the way the players can shoot the puck with their accuracy and everything. We had guys like that in my day, but it was usually only, you know, three, four guys on each team. And now all the players can shoot the puck and have a better chance of scoring. So the goaltending, the coaching, everything that goes into it for the goalies, their style is different. It's not as much of a reflex position as it was before. It's bigger guys. They're blocking more. They just play the position a lot different.
We'll close on this one, and we talk about players and goaltenders, but how about managing? I mean, we know Jim Rutherford in a number of different ways, and not just in the NHL, but in junior hockey as well. But has the art or the craft of managing changed as significantly as the actual play itself on the ice?
Yeah, it has for me. I mean, I can't speak for other people, but we have a lot more checkpoints now, you know, a lot more things that we go through when we're talking about players or making changes. And obviously analytics has played a big part, which I believe in, I use. We have a bigger hockey staff. I have more people that have input on players going up and down and making trades, the communication with the coaching staff, all those things I think has really improved and has changed to make it a lot easier and a lot better.
Listen, Jim, it's always exciting when you get itchy to make a deal because, as we've said before, when Jim Rutherford sets his eyes on something, he usually gets it. Continued success with the Penguins. Always fun to follow you, squad. We'll catch up soon.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.